I was trying to help him win. I was giving him what I thought were very clear, like, path forward of objective things he could do to convince Americans that he was focused on their desperate needs. And at the end of the day, I just didn't feel like he was that engaged. And his other meeting, like the one after me, was like rich people trying to give him statues and stuff. And he was talking about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. And it's just like he wasn't engaging in the fight. Like, I don't think he had the fight. And listen, I don't think I would personally be able to go through the things that Donald Trump went through. They put him through so much, you know, like all the convictions and all the attacks.
Well, let me interrupt again because you're so on target. Again, you're on the show last June or whatever. You say you're in an emergency situation. Everyone's turning on you. Change course now. He could have done it. The vice president sees it, calls you up there, 3-hour meeting. He shows up for part of it. You lay it out. He's like, oh, I got to go be given gold statues and talk about Lindsey Graham's golf drive. You're literally brought in as an intervention to like convince him, because they know you're the top pollster. And, I mean, again, we're not, it's like exactly, I'm done helping him because it doesn't do anything. I mean, I remember telling him when he was president-elect 10 years ago, sir, Fiona Hill is on the board of George Soros' foundation. This general is on it. They are your enemies.
How can we be, you know, the most powerful country in the world, and it's not safe to walk around our cities. What the hell is going on? Yeah. I mean, Soros, honestly, misanthropic. You know, he's someone who has, sort of claims to be doing good, but actually he is not. You know, he is tearing down the fabric of society. So, terrible.
Obama signed the defense authorization, you know, NDAA, with $2 billion with stay-behind networks. What's that? They put their people in to counter and undermine you. Here's the legislation.
What is the legal theory behind the grand conspiracy, and is it viable in the federal courts?
I think there's a good chance that you're talking about a deprivation of civil rights under 18 U.S. Code 242. Ironically, perhaps, you could argue that there's a conspiracy to defraud the United States, which was a lead charge that Jack Smith used for January 6th.
And he's like, oh, Alex, you're so great. Let me talk to your wife. And seriously, God, your husband's incredible. You know how great he is? I mean, like 10 minutes, she's got him on speaker glazing me because that's his currency. And he does that. They glaze each other. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be glazed. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. People ask like, oh, you're mad he called you low IQ. No, I stopped. They used to call and say, he's going to call you in a few hours and you wait by the phone. Will you take a call from the president? I wouldn't even care because literally it's a robot machine kissing your ass to manipulate you.
I was getting hundreds of direct messages from 3-time Trump voters who were literally burning all their Trump hats and 55-gallon drums out back. Like, that's where we were because of all of the overt, like, antagonization that he was taking out on his original base at the time. Like, that was the backdrop of my trip. And I don't want to be mean to the staff, again, because, like, they were listening very closely, and J.D., you know, wanted Trump to hear my message, and Susie was listening and taking notes, and they wanted to learn from me. But it's like, what I didn't see was when you go into a major corporation and it's like, this company has a vision. Somebody laid out a mission, and I bet you they know what their quarterly goals are. And I bet you if you look, somebody's keeping track of how all the meetings tie back to strategic initiatives.
And with the midterm elections a little more than 100 days away, the clock is ticking for President Trump to get out of this war before voters head to the polls. It's making a lot of Republicans nervous. It's already, as we know, unpopular. According to the New Washington Post Ipsos poll, 69% of Americans disapprove of the handling of this conflict. Republicans cannot let this become an endless distraction, especially if they want to win in November.
Well, Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war.
I got kind of mouthy, and I was like, you know what? You know, Americans don't like oligarchy. They think that's what the problem is, and a lot of the people you're surrounding yourself make you look like an oligarch. And so you should smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy.
You said that. You said it on the show and after. A parade of Larry Ellison saying we're going to control you with AI ain't good, sir.
Yeah. It's bad. Like, when you bring Mark Zuckerberg, who stole your election, into the White House the very first week of your inauguration, like, that is not a good look. And Susie was like, oh, that's really good. I'm going to write that down and use it. But it's like they didn't use it. You know what I mean? Like, we're still...
Lord Vader, The rebellion is exposing your lies. We are the resistance, and we're taking down the Empire's deep state machine once and for all.
Get this guy off my screen. Can we go to clip 50? Clip 50. Guys, what's going on back there? All I wanted was clip 50. I sent it this morning. You should have had it. I'm not mad at the crew. I am not mad at the crew, but I am mad at you. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and make the purchase now.
We got a badass afternoon for you. I got the only Western journalist to be in Iran for the world's largest funeral procession in human history. Joining me in the second hour to talk all things Iran war and more. I've got the latest updates for you here in the first hour, and I plan on taking your calls in the third. My name is Rex Jones, your embattled host here at the Alex Jones Live Studios. Thank you all for being here with me today. I hate to have to start the show off this way, but I do. We have to witness things, and we have to witness what people are also saying about those things. I'm talking about more Americans dead, more Americans murdered in the Middle East. Can we go to the first thing in the rundown? Fallen American hero murdered by Iran from Rabbi Shmuley. We've got Rabbi Shmuley giving us advice on the newest, latest American casualty, Sergeant Michael Emmanuel Swinton. Truly tragic, truly horrific. But notice this right here. Notice that. America will avenge you. Not Israel, not the IDF, not Netanyahu, not the Mossad. America will avenge you. Keep in mind, this man died in a war manufactured by and for Israel. And that is where we are to start today's show. The casualties continue to mount. I've got a clip later on where Senator Ted Lieu claims that we have almost 500 casualties, people seriously injured. I have to say, I think that number is still rather low. I think the truth won't come out on this for a matter of years. But this is how we start today's show. And this is why I just care so much about the politics and war issues, specifically geopolitically. The ignorance here in America is truly astounding. People are mad about the pump. They're kind of mad about the war. But we have this general apathy. What if that was your brother? Because he is, by the way, he is your American brother. What if it was your sister? What if your sister was Sarah Gonzalez? What if your brother was Tyler Woodall? It affects all genders, all races, all colors, all creeds, because we are all Americans united together. And he is now no longer with us. And Rabbi Shmuley is pleased. He is quite pleased because it allows him to push his narrative of war and death upon us as in, oh, you got to get him back now. You got to get him back. You got to get him back. An eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Who started this fight? That is the theme of today's show. I want to go ahead and go to the next thing here, which I literally saw and I threw up a little bit in my mouth, from Eric Dortry, one of the most notorious propaganda accounts on X, in my opinion. I'm just going to read this caption to you, and I want you to try not to develop IBS. Holy crap. President Trump just announced the U.S. military will destroy one bridge or power plant, including in Tehran, for each time Iran attacks a ship in the Strait of Hormuz. Let's go ahead and roll that Trump clip if we got it.
They're going to expand. I'll save the energy targets for last.
Wow.
But ultimately, we'll hit energy targets, yeah. But we're going to hit them very hard tonight. We're going to hit them very hard tomorrow night. We're going to hit them very hard the night after. And then next week, it gets really bad for them because next week comes the power plants. Next week comes the bridges. We're going to knock out all their power plants. We're going to knock out all their bridges unless they get to the table and negotiate.
So how's this going to work? You know, what's different than the first 39 days of the war where we used the majority of our missile and missile defense? You know, can we just hit them hard one more time? Maybe, I don't know, nuke Pickaxe Mountain and take care of it? That's my best Jesse Waters impression, that last little 5 seconds there. That's what some of these people fantasize about doing. And to Trump, it's just always the idea of the next attack, the next attack, the next attack, what he can do, what he as iPad kid president can watch on his like Fox News montage. It's like Inception, right? You have the president watching the president watch the president on TV. You understand we're not in Kansas anymore? Let's go ahead and go to the next thing here. Trump thinks the Iran war is popular. Americans aren't against the war. A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war. Let's play that.
As we go to honor these soldiers, do you have an update on the investigation as to how they were killed in Jordan?
No, they're doing that. That'll be released. You know what?
It was Iran targeting barracks.
I don't know. Well, they're going to pay a big price. They're being decimated.
Is that report inaccurate?
Yeah, please.
Well, Americans aren't against the war.
Liar.
A poll just came out. Americans don't want high gasoline prices, but they're not against the war. That just came out loud and clear in a poll.
Pause it.
Nobody wants.
All right, of course, no one knows what poll he's referring to or talking about because it's not real. Maybe Lutnick whispered it in his ear like Grima Wormtongue. The idea that Americans support a war that is bankrupting the country right now and is a future COVID 2.0, and everyone knows this, left, right, and center, the idea that anyone supports this besides the people around you that are billionaires or in the Oval Office or grifters in general, nobody is for this. Everyone wants it to end now. And this is why we have to look past Trump a little bit and say, why is the guy that has always been, you know, a good barometer on kind of like the will or the wants of the people, I guess we should say more the wants than the will, being able to portray himself as that. I mean, you talk about a historic mandate to win, to lead. We crushed the Democrats in 2024. They were inoperable. I mean, it was so bad the 80-year-old demented Joe Biden dropped out and then Kamala got yeeted and destroyed in the election, right? So they were shattered, literally don't have a single figurehead. Their strongest coalition leader is Gavin Newsom, a man who destroyed California. And now we are, you know, a year and a half, almost 2 years into the Trump presidency, the second term, and they have reconstituted themselves and they are resurgent. And it's not our fault. It's not the fault of the people that voted for Donald Trump because we believed in his anti-war pro-peace policy. It has nothing to do with us. We don't have telepathic control over his mind. He lied to us directly. And then now Unk wants to go, hey, man, chill. Just chill out. Let me play Unk. We're not doing that anymore. People don't support your wars. People don't support you. Because Trump, you think it was always about, you know, the red tie and the YMCA and the Diddy dance where he like jerks off two dudes. And you thought that we all liked that or whatever. We tolerated that and found it funny because it was in service of you being a greater legend, right? Like Robin Hood being playful or something. We didn't realize you were the sheriff of Nottingham. So let's go back to Trump there and play the rest of the clip out.
Have a nuclear weapon. Do you want Iran to have a nuclear weapon? You think it's good?
You want
go
it?
Go ahead. All I'm going
to
say is we love you. We love your child. And that's what they are to them.
Liar.
They're their children. There's no games, no nothing. That's their child. And all you can do is throw out your heart. Thank you very much.
Piggy waddles back to the plane. If he cared about their child, he wouldn't have sent him and her, both of them, off to go die in a base with no missile defense. Like, think about this. Think about the idea of saying, okay, I'm going to leave my child out on the highway. Right. I'm just going to take my child. Don't do this. This is for like comedic, illustrative, metaphoric purposes. I'm just going to leave my child on the interstate, you know, and my child can't walk yet, just crawling around. But it'll be good practice for the child to walk. In fact, I think the child's going to walk and run. Right. That's like saying, I think it's good for our troops to be over in the Middle East in these bases. I think they're going to defeat Iran. How are they supposed to do that when they're in Kuwait, Jordan, Bahrain getting blown up? How does that work exactly? How do they defeat Iran? I've got a clip later. I'm not sure which one it is in the rundown. I don't want to get too distracted. I've got a clip later where it's some like, you know, the Holden blood feast meme, respected or like respectable bipartisan. It's a Democrat congressperson who's like questioning Hegseth or whatever. I don't remember his name. Very generic white guy. And he's going, the men and women can win, Hegseth, but they need leadership. They need your leadership on the field. You're not providing leadership. Mega, what are you talking about? What leadership? leading him off a cliff like lemmings to die? Like the idea that you can have any position on this war other than getting the F out immediately, you have to be like 60 IQ, liquid brain, vegetable style, or you have to be like a sociopath who's trying to destroy the country. There's pretty much no in between. I'm going to play this. This is truly next level and extremely insulting. Trump is basically like the Lorax who speaks for the trees, except he's the Grim Reaper who speaks for the dead. I want to go to Trump on fallen U.S. troops. All of them said very strongly, we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon.
I guess some of you are going with us to honor our heroes, and they are indeed great heroes, actually. They said, and they, all of them said very strongly, we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon. They won't have a nuclear weapon. So we're going to honor them.
Another lie from the Golden Lizard. I now want to go to Tucker Carlson because I agreed with this clip when I saw it. It's a 30-second clip. My sense is that Trump's views are irrelevant. That's clip number 4 from Tucker.
My sense is that Trump's views are irrelevant. I don't think he was for this war with Iran. He did it anyway. He's utterly controlled. So there's that. J.D. Vance is the only person I'm aware of in American national politics with any power at all, to the extent he has power, who would oppose this. But I don't see anyone other than J.D. Vance.
I mean,
hope I'm wrong.
I hope you are too. I mean, there's no doubt that the voices of the independent media is starting to be heard. We've got a long, long way to go, but we're starting to be heard. But again, this is why I think this debate needs to happen now rather than later.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, independent media is kind of in a super cycle right now. And the people saying it's dead, it's stagnated, it's because they're a part of the old model and they're not trying to tell the truth. Everyone that's telling the truth right now about the giant geopolitical massive conflicts, degradation here back home, domestic policy, corruption, Epstein files, you name it, like that is the meta. That is the new wave right now. Whenever I hear Fuentes talk about, oh, I'm bored, like I don't want to do a show, or like I take a while, like I'm going to reformulate or come back to it. That's like Palpatine going, I'm too weak, Anakin, I'm too weak. Like, I genuinely, he knows. Like, this is the time to be alive. This is the time to be doing media. People like Tucker understand that. People like my dad understand that. Nick Fuentes understands that. Many others do, right? It is only the Steven Crowders, the Gavin McGinnis, the Ben Shapiro, the Dave Rubin, the PragerU, Jordan Peterson. Like, it is the old wing. It is the old wing. The Israel First Christian Zionist that co-opted MAGA and tried to make it their own. And they say, oh, hey, we agree on a lot of the same issues. If you support that state over there, you're not on our team, because that's not America First. Simple as. Not complicated, right? Let's go ahead and go to CNN montage of Trump statements saying that he would not get us into endless wars and his statements on this current war. Let's hear Unc Cap for a little bit here.
War and aggression will not be my first instinct.
We are ending the era of endless wars.
I'm not going to start a war. I'm going to stop wars. We will measure our success not only by the battles we win, but also by the wars that we end, and perhaps most importantly, the wars we never get into.
A short time ago, the United States military began major combat operations in Iran.
I think you'll see it's going to be a short-term excursion.
What makes you so sure this won't become a quagmire?
We're not going to be there.
You're convinced this won't become a
half
quagmire?
A year.
It's not a quagmire. Just wiped out the military of a very dangerous country. We're almost finished.
He said we're almost finished 6 weeks ago. And since then, the ceasefire has collapsed and 3 more Americans have lost their lives.
All right, let's go to clip 6. So this is what it's really about here. Clip 6. Just mute it and just have me talk over it, if you would. This is Trump and the rest of the goon squad saluting the coffins that they created, the bodies of the American soldiers, the men and women that are no longer with us. Truly disturbing. And this is what I don't see retweeted enough, reposted enough, shared enough online. I hear people talk about it, and it's a good thing on the interview channels to talk about it. This is harrowing footage for the entire country, because that's you in that box. And if you don't understand that, you're a part of the problem. Or you're somebody that's more concerned about over there, which I would say move to Ukraine and Israel and get the F out of my country. Seriously, that's your brother, that's your sister, that's your dad, that's your mom, that's your cousin, that's your friend, that's your lover, that's your wife. That's you. And if you can't understand that, then you're somebody that they can co-opt into their system. And I have to believe if you can't understand that, you got to be an NPC. Because if you can't appreciate the individuality of human life and that we're all created by God, then, you know, you are just an economic unit. You are just a flesh monster. You are just a creation of these people. Don't be a creation of these people. If you've been swindled genuinely like I was totally bamboozled and fooled and lied to and defrauded by Trump. 110%. We should all be able to sue and get a zillion dollars, right? The way he lied to us. But I'm willing to admit that now, and I'm willing to look forward into the future and try to find the truth, trying to find out, hey, what should we actually be doing? And I think the polar opposite of what he's doing right now, the policies that we originally voted for, I think that's a pretty good place to start. So let's show the coffins again. You know, let's show the coffins again, because I know we got people in the audience, you know, we're going to get Iran. We're going to defeat Iran. It's going to be 5 seconds, you know, just another 5 days or something like that. I know we got people in the audience like that. We can defeat them. It will be easy. See, I can do a bunch of different voices, so I'm not discriminating against any genre of American here. But here's the thing. If you support that, you have a liquid brain, and it should be you inside that box. Go fight and die over there. You know, or maybe you can be a notifier. You can be a notifier, and you can knock on the parent's door, and you can tell the parent their child wanted to die so Iran wouldn't have a nuclear weapon. I bet you'll get punched in the face. Seriously. Okay, we'll go to the next thing here, which we have. Oh, we got a whole bunch of Hegseth. You know, actually, hold on. I might want to save that for a little bit later because those are just so extreme. Let's go ahead and start off with this montage of Hegseth. Let's go to clip 9. This is a good one.
Epic Fury decimated Iran's military and rendered it combat ineffective for years to come.
Why?
Iran's navy is at the bottom of the sea.
They would try to impose their will on the waterways in ways that the world would not like. Call it a toll, call it a fee, call it an exchange, call it control. They would do something that they would try to hold it at issue.
Then you've got shrinking American munition stockpiles. Last month, Hegseth was dismissing concerns that it was even an issue. Today, it was a reason the military needs an urgent cash infusion.
There is a crisis with those stockpiles now in private industry.
That is a manufactured story that the media wants
to
peddle.
Congress.
And ultimately, our stockpiles are great, and they only get stronger.
We face critical shortfalls that threaten our ability to also simply pay our service members, rapidly replenish equipment and munitions, and sustain vital operations without disruption.
But there is one question where Hegseth never seems to waver. And it's this one. Who's to blame for all of this?
The disaster of what the Biden administration budgets gave us. It was not a priority to fund the Department of Defense under Joe Biden. It's a neglect of the Biden administration. I mean, the Biden administration ignored hypersonics. I don't know what Lloyd Austin did for 4 years. Again, that goes back to the Biden administration of divest to invest.
Familiar names. Titles missing.
Over all right, and over. That's enough. But not the get her off the screen, please. Thank you. All right, so here's what you got to take away from all of that. Those are ready-made campaign ads for the Democrats, not just in the midterms, but in 2028 as well. The damage that these people have done to their own party that they blame us for somehow. Let's get the Trump tweet where he calls out my dad, Candace, Megyn Kelly, and Tucker, if we can. Because they want to blame it on us. They want to say, it's horrible, we're going to lose our country because of people like you. And it's like, no, actually, we're still the same people. It's you guys that flipped. It's you guys that changed. Like, those images of them saluting the coffin, that's going to be everywhere. The video of Trump saying, I don't care about inflation or I like when it goes up. That's actually what he said. It's worse than I remember. Look at this. I know why Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones have all been fighting me for years. You mean just like trying to battle for you, fighting in the gladiator pit? My dad got gutted, got his literal legs chopped off for you metaphysically, lost his 32-year business. 78 employees at the peak, all that totally gone? Wow. Especially by the fact they think it is wonderful for Iran, the number one state sponsor of terrorism, to have a nuclear weapon because they have one thing in common, low IQs. No, you're the dumb one. You're the dumb one because you don't realize you had the potential to have the greatest life on Earth. You have the potential for them to truly want to build gold statues of you, man. But you're not capable of doing the George Washington, Obi-Wan Kenobi thing where you step down, you say, hey, maybe I don't know everything. Trump is the absolute opposite of my dad's I'm kind of retarded saying, which in it has a lot of wisdom and truth. And that goes back to Socrates. I know that I know nothing. Trump is the definition of a know-it-all. And the hardest thing about a know-it-all is when you try to teach someone something that knows everything, they already got a whole preconceived world. And if you say what you say doesn't fit in their world, it's like you're trying to apply, I don't know, like non-Newtonian physics or like advanced calculus or something. They just can't get it. And I think at a certain point, when you're 80 years old, yeah, thank you, keep showing these. When you're 80 years old, when you're the president of the United States, when you're blackmailed, compromised, confused, whatever you want to say, I think at a certain point, you just kind of let go mentally. And he's on total autopilot. The president of the United States of America is on total autopilot, and he's trying to genocide a whole bunch of people right now. It's easy, he says. Tucker is a low IQ person, always easy to beat and highly overrated. I thought he was your best friend for years. So you really switch up on your day ones like that? That's not cool, Unc. So are Megyn Kelly, Candace, and bankrupt Alex Jones, who is completely fried. Oh, you mean we got killed in the court of public opinion for helping get you elected? You know, we got banned before any damn lawsuit. Okay, maybe Chobani or whatever. That doesn't count. That wasn't the reason why we were banned. We were banned because my dad went to the halls of Congress after Oliver Darcy testified against him, trying to get him deplatformed off the internet. Imagine whatever job you work. If somebody went to Congress and said, hey, we don't want that guy doing that job anymore. Take it away from him. In fact, you know, take his licensing away from him so he can't do it anymore. That's literally what Oliver Darcy was doing. You know what my dad's quote is? You look like a possum, Oliver Darcy, that crawled out of the rear end of a cow, in my view. Now, we see worse than that every 5 seconds on social media all the time, but you have to understand back in the day, it was a different world. And during that different world, this was a very prominent case, and Trump even commented on it. You know what he said? As long as I'm on Twitter, it's okay. And he was banned shortly later, and he still couldn't learn his lesson. I don't know how much more I can say. You know, before I just throw this table over and smash that camera because it makes me so mad. The entire future, you know, the future I thought about growing up, what it would be, you know, in a weird way, I never thought I would get InfoWars, you know, because it was my father's thing. I wanted to do my own project. But growing up, imagine how weird it is for everyone to tell you, like Simba, one day this will all be yours, and then for them to take it away. So I have a right to be upset, as do you too, because they didn't just do that to us. They did that to you sitting at home. They're afraid of an independent model of somebody that's not in their system that can generate enough energy to be a legitimate competitive threat to them. That's why we were taken out. That's why Trump was originally taken out. And then he was co-opted and bought into the new system. And now you get them cutting campaign ads for the Democrats and then guilt tripping us about, oh, got to show up for the midterms, for the SAVE Act, for the dirt, collar blue, neck red, working hard, keep family fed. There's nothing really we can do but speak the truth and wait for 2028 and hope that we have one of these amazing dark horse candidates rise up that we can get behind. I do truly believe in some of these people, but it's going to be a proving process. It's going to be extreme. It's going to be a crucible. And, you know, I think the country is ready. You know, people talk a lot about the apathy that people have and they view it in some sort of like negative context. That emotion is a lot closer to hatred than it is of tolerance and love. So I think we're walking a real dangerous line right now with politicians that think that they can kill Americans and possibly reinstitute a draft thousands of miles away. We have Americans dying in the Middle East that weren't even born when 9/11 happened. Think about that. My MIGAs out there in the audience, think about that. Real MIGA roll call. I'll see you on the next segment. Peace.
Fight for our sovereignty, to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, you're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the global's going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, you'll get Masterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the human, with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission, you got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition of as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Into it, guys. The War Room. We're coming up on the interview with Suleiman Ahmed. We're looking forward to that. The only Western journalist to be present for the entire funeral procession in Iran. Also incredible interviews as well. We got that time stamped out, and we're going to be playing, pausing that, analyzing it with him. But I want to go to this. It's another one of the excellent, and I say that sarcastically, terrible propaganda tweets from one Eric Dortry. Breaking. President Trump just posted that he has ordered U.S. CENTCOM, Central Command, to, quote-unquote, open the gates of hell on Iran after American troops were killed. 47 posted this right after attending. You think it was dignified? I guess that's the technical transfer for it. I thought it was an undignified transfer because they murdered their asses. Of four fallen American heroes, what are their names? Names are Tyler. Name is Sarah. I think it's with a H. Forgive me if it's not. Angel. And then who is the other gentleman that died? Michael, I believe was his name. I want to double, triple check that, confirm that. All dead, all murdered for Israel. not for the U.S., not to ensure Iran could not have a nuclear weapon, not even to, quote unquote, open the strait, because we know we can't open the strait. When Trump says decimated, I think he's about right. He should look up what that word means. It means destroying 10%. Maybe we destroyed 10% of the military, right? But those people died for literally nothing other than Israel. You can't point to any other cause. You can point to Netanyahu saying Iran must never have a nuclear weapon for 35 years. Look at this. And this is what we have running the government right now. They're all kind of like this, Democrat and Republican. Now, I'll show that you that clip later, that guy who's just as bad as Hegseth and doesn't even know it. Look at this. Holden Blood Feast.
118 years old. Please, God, just let us nuke Iran. Nothing else matters. I'll do anything. Please, I just want to see burning flesh one last time before I die.
Respectable bipartisan. Of course, it's always a respectable bipartisan. This is such a perfect transition. I have to find it now. I got to crawl through my documents. I got to find it. It's Hegseth, and it's him being interviewed by the Holden Blood Feast character. I got to find it right here. Dang it. Where did I put it? This is why I'm still learning, guys. We'll find that later. I want to go back to Hegseth. Let's go to clip 7. Hegseth's excuses aren't working.
We were completely aware that the Strait of Hormuz could be closed, and obviously sinking their ships has not affected their ability to effectively close the straits.
We had U.S. boats that surrendered to Iranian ships under the Biden administration, so their Navy was effective in expeditionary ways.
We're talking about a war you started, not a situation in which oil was flowing freely. There was no conflict. We weren't losing personnel as a result of Iranian actions. So your fallback to the Biden administration is just a very, very obvious excuse for what I think is probably, as you described so often, gross negligence. You did not fully inform the president that you would be in a situation where the Strait of Hormuz could be effectively closed, oil prices could surge, and effectively, the Iranians could maintain their ability to strike back as they are right now. They just killed some of our servicemen last weekend.
Well, I don't know about all that. I think Unk is lying there as well. I think it's Unk on Unk violence when it comes to this. Hegseth didn't inform Trump that they would close the strait. I thought that everyone informed Trump that they were going to close the strait, and Trump didn't listen to him. You know, I'm willing to bet basically most things but my life on that. I'm pretty sure they knew exactly what was going to go down, but they thought that killing the people would work, because keep in mind, this has been and always will be a regime change war. The Hegseth clip, if y'all type in Hegseth bipartisan, or like, he's like, you're not giving our troops what they need to win. You're not giving them leadership, Pete. If y'all can find that, just look for it a little bit. I'm sure I'll be able to pull it up. The attitude that both sides have, the quote-unquote respectable bipartisans, about, you know, this is some sort of managed conflict that, you know, they talk about it. This is a shaping operation. We have to engage here and pull back. It's a tit-for-tat battle. There's no such thing as tit-for-tat. It's murder for murder, full war, total war. One of the cool things about being here, I'll say working here now, too, it's they're going to pay me a little bit to do shows. The cool thing about working here, now I can say that very, very cool, is that I get to hear cool conversations like between Michael Yon and my father. And what Michael Yon was discussing today was the total famine that's coming very, very soon for everybody, and the fact that he really believes a draft will be implemented. Now, at the beginning of this war, at this conflict, I predicted ground invasion, boots on the ground in Iran. Now, people in spaces debated me, kind of clowned me a little bit. I think that I'm being proven right over time, and I want to be wrong. It's not a thing about wanting to be right. You don't want the predictive power. The predictive power is horrible. It is terrible. It's like one of the worst powers you can have. It's horrible for you as well, because you just think about like the worst scenarios 24/7. Really bad for your mind. But sometimes we have to tell people the truth, even if it's painful, even if it hurts us and hurts them, because we have to wake up. It's a difference between hurting and dying. It's a difference between suffering and being killed, because this system is hostile to our lives. And you can say, oh, well, you know, gas is more expensive, but it is what it is. I got the promotion at work, I guess. The wife got a second job. It is what it is, whatever it is. Everything will be all right. And then one day you go to the grocery store and there's no food. And then one day you go to the gas station and there's no gas. And then one day you turn on the TV and Trump says there's a new virus. And then we're developing another shot, Operation Warp Speed 2.0. And that's not like a crazy libtard fantasy. That's pretty close to, you know, a possible future I could see unfolding. one of potential thousands that I think about, right? So, like, are you safe and comfy with that? Or are you watching videos of Scott Pressler dancing around in boots saying, hey, you got to go out there and save the vote. Got to pass the SAVE Act. Got to get out there in the midterms. All the while, these same people are promoting politicians that literally might as well wear bibs covered in blood because that's what they do. Like, they drink American lives and they invest in the stock market, prediction markets, things that should be illegal on their face. Like, think about that. Insider trading is so bad. It's insider government. That's what it's become. We've become a corporate captured entity here at home with our domestic military industrial complex and other industries, big pharma, big ag, you name it. And then now, like, that is an evil husband. We're going to marry that to the evil bride of Israel, IZRUL, right? We're going to do the NDAA and Section 219. They changed it from 224. Section 612 merges CIA Mossad, basically. Section 219 merges our military with Israel. They get an executive agent. They get a guy that's a Pete Hegseth equivalent, essentially a secondary Department of War, Department of Defense head, who's higher than everyone else at DOD. You can read the document for yourself. I'm not making this up. Higher than everyone else at DOD and does not answer to Congress, only answers to the executive branch and the president. Well, executive branch Hegseth, the DOW, and then Trump. They're to be in ascendancy in all elements of our military. And this is why this is the time. This is life and death, people. This is everything. This is the future. This is our future being flushed down the drain because Americans are apathetic and don't care enough about it. You got to be talking to 10 people a day about this because I got a bad news for you. It's going to get passed. Trump is going to sign that like the orange horny toad that he is. He's going to sit in there on his big rock with the heat lamp on. Netanyahu's going to turn the heat lamp on and then Trump's going to croak and he's going to sign the document. So our military is about to be co-opted and taken over by essentially, it's like a hooker that we used to pay that we've now signed a reverse prenup with that now owns us and the house. And then it's better for us somehow. I'll go back to the classic Netanyahu line.
Well, I think it's great that you give me $3 billion a year because I use that money to buy American munitions. Blah, blah, blah. Be Netanyahu, I do genocide all day. But we don't need that anymore. We're going to have a new arrangement.
And the new arrangement is they just own all our stuff by nature of it being passed into our law, right? Think about that. Think about a nation that has the highest threat level, according to, I believe it's our DIA that released the assessment, that is going to be in ascendancy in all aspects of our military. That's called an occupied nation. That's called an occupied government. And that's why we are the same as the Palestinians. Do you not understand? They have had everything taken from them but their dignity. We have had everything remain with us but our dignity. And that is the true tragedy. You have to understand this is a program. This has been done to you. We've all been propagandized. We've all been abused. We've all been lied to. You name it. That is just the system we are in. It is oppressive. It oppresses us. It oppresses you to keep your world small. And once your world starts to get bigger, and once you start to look outside of what's being done to your future, what's being done to your home, what's being done to your family, and you want to do something about it, it's too late. But the hour has not yet come where it is too late. We still have time. We'll make hay while the sun is shining, as they say in the South, and we're going to work hard. We're going to inform more people because this is information warfare. This is what this is. Okay. And that's up to you too. Every single one of you people. I don't want to do like a Nick Fuentes related show or anything, but I saw him talk about this one time. He says, leave the broadcasting to the truly talented. I totally disagree. Everyone is talented. Everyone can, could, and should do this. In some aspect, whether you're a writer, whether you're a podcaster, whether you're helping somebody else with the show, whatever you can do to be involved, just waking people up, being informed, being engaged, doing the required reading as well. Lord knows I need to do more of that. And that's what my dad says about it always being fun to be informed. Because imagine being somebody that believes in the clips that I just showed you. Of course, you'd never be them because you've been watching this war since the beginning, since Trump promised it wouldn't happen. So you're aware, you're alert, you're awake to the hypocrisy. But imagine somebody whose world is so small, they don't even realize it. It's the Truman Show. And there's plenty of that going on right now in America, but I do have hope for the future of the country. And it just requires us having a steely gaze and walking forward into 2028 and really considering 2026 to be an atonement period, you know? Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. I voted for Ted Cruz in 2024. I didn't want to say that. Damn, that's like coming out of the closet or something. I voted for Ted Cruz in 2024 against Colin Allred, right? I did that because, oh, Teddy Cruz, he ain't going to take my guns, right? I'm going to go buy an AR-15. He's not going to touch that. Well, I mean, he's handing my whole country over to Israel, so why the hell does it matter? And I'm sure the other guy, Colin Allred, the same type of thing too, right? And I'm sure Tallarico, the same type of thing too. Whatever. That's not my point. My point is, where are my options? What, as a 23-year-old about to be 24, what are my options for future advancement? I work really hard. I'm a supplement white labeler, manufacturer, e-commerce guy, everything. I make the pre-workout that Owen Schroyer sells now, Crash Out Energy. Like, literally. Like, this is what I do, and I've been doing it for 5 years. And I'm in an environment where I needed the consumer to be robust so that we can have the 360 win and I can actually perpetuate a growing economy. But they don't care about me because I'm an American manufacturer. If I was an Israeli manufacturer, a Chinese one, an Indian one, or whatever, right? Oh, they'd care because they could cut a foreign deal and make money off griffing off the supremacy of the dollar. But because it's an American business, we don't ever get help. Instead, you know what we get? You know what we get as American business people? We get inflation. We get destroyed consumer sentiment. We get volatile markets to where credit goes up and it's more expensive to borrow money. That's what we get as business people. What do you get as a family man, a family lady out there? More expensive food, more expensive travel, more expensive vacation, more expensive summer camp. Everything. The price of the brick is going up for human beings across the world, not just here. And we are lucky enough and spoiled enough for it maybe to just be like a really bad depression. Tens, if not 100 million people will die. So I've got more Hegg, Seth. I don't want to get distracted here. Let's go to him being called out. And I want to illustrate this. And here's the thing. Not every time when someone does this, is it the fool sip? But this is like, I don't know what I call it. This is a idiosyncrasy. No, it's a body language cue or whatever. Yeah, it's a body language cue. When somebody is under pressure in a speaking or presentation concept or a context where they have to present information or stick to their frame or their story, oftentimes when pressured in a debate or something like this, you'll see them as a buffering moment take a prolonged sip. I'm going to do an example of it. I'm Pete Hegseth. I got people standing up around me saying, "You killed elementary schoolers. You're evil. I know it's true. Oh my gosh, I got to get more liquor. Oh my gosh, but it's just water." And a lot of time you'll notice like the deadpan stare out front or looking down into the cup. I want to illustrate this and show you the fool sip. Let's go to clip number 10. If we have it.
$1.5
trillion. Stop bombing our children in Iran and Palestine. This is illegal.
Mr. Secretary, please suspend until order is restored in the hearing room. We will begin the timing clock since you've been interrupted twice.
I guess I put the wrong video in there. Look, just look up Hegseth drinks or Hegseth sips, and you'll see it. It was big today. I think I even retweeted something about it. The point is, it can't feel good to sit in there and know that you're totally cooked, and also that you're a war criminal, and also that you killed little kids, right? It can't feel good, but he will take the pain for his dear leader. He is a good and faithful servant of evil. Like, seriously, him and Trump, that's old Petey boy is probably Trump's most loyal draft pick. That's probably a guy that'd be with you thick and thin, because it's like a henchman to the Penguin. Hey, boss, we're going to get in trouble for all this one day. You know, we did all the war crimes and killed all the children. You know, I definitely took too much test. You know, it made me, you know, do a couple of things. It's all right, Pete. It's okay. We're two peas in a pod. Petey Hegseth and Donald Trump, war criminals, killers. We're both killers, murderers, aren't we, Pete? Absolutely proud of it, sir. Like that's pretty much where we are. Damn, I wanted to show the clip of him drinking out of the water. If we can find that, but I also got clip number 11 and clip number 12. Let's try to find that. Let's go to clip number 11, which is just another example of like the media insanity. They're talking about a 20-year war. Go ahead and play it.
How much longer do you expect this to go on? And do you think munitions should be a limitation at this point? What do you hear?
No, I don't think, the Pentagon has done a great job of restocking the munitions. I don't think that's an issue at all.
Why?
But I do expect that we're going to be there a long time. You know, Operation Northern Southern Watch went on for, you know, almost 20 years, I think. So I think this is going to be something similar. We're going to have to stay there. Those guys aren't going to change their behavior. We have to adapt. And I think, you know, we're going to have to get the Gulf states and those that rely on the oil coming from the Gulf states to help pay for this.
drop him on Iran. You know, maybe he's a veteran or whatever. You know, he's an old man now. He's not going to go fight. Other people are. Hey, you know, there's plenty of people that are old in the French Foreign Legion fighting in Ukraine. It's time for you to boot up. It's time for you to go get Fortnite dropped on Tehran with real guns. So let's go ahead and throw the Pete Hegseth clip up. If we do have it, I want to illustrate the fool's sip for you. This is a classic psychological phenomena. Happens a lot in presentation, debate, speech in general. People that, oh God, I don't want to sound like Dinesh D'Souza.
People that are wordsmiths.
People that speak for a living, whatever. If they get in a debate and they get bodied, look at this. The fool's sip. Classic. Look at the distraction and the loss in his eyes. We'll replay that. He's going to take the full sip again. Look at that. He looks down at the cup again. He's like Dave Blunt's. I can't put down the cup. I can't put down the cup. But he has an alcohol problem, not a lean problem. If we can just replay that at the beginning there. Because he really, really is everything that Trump would want. You know, Trump likes to say, like, my best people are made for central casting. Oh, look at this person. Look at this guy. Well, that's a character in a show that knows that he's cooked, right? Literally. He's like a TV character or something. He's like Truman from Truman Show. So that's where we are with that. Don't want to spend too long on that. Let's go ahead and go into the full montage of him, which is clip number 12, but we still have time in this segment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you all for your testimony. And General Kane, let me just begin by expressing on behalf of all Georgians our immense gratitude and admiration for the service members who are making tremendous sacrifices and conducting themselves with extraordinary selflessness and professionalism on behalf of the United States and our state's unified condolences and grief for the families of the...
Just pause it. I'm sorry. Like, why do we have to be fake and gay all the time? Like, can I say faggot on here? Like, why does he have to be a faggot about it? Like, seriously, like, we're at a point now where it's infinite free political capital for the first person that crashes out about all this stuff because they're justified. And why isn't anybody crashing out about it? We have to thank, you know, the dignified process of our soldiers and our troops. And I get that that's respectful. And I get that that's protocol. And I get that that's what you do, quote unquote. But what you do is not what we've been doing. So it's not time to try to breathe water underwater. That's what this is. Trying to treat this like it's any kind of a normal, legitimate process. This is a clown show, a kangaroo court. Go ahead and play it.
Action and our hope for a swift recovery for the nearly 100 wounded over the last 2 weeks. And thank you to you for your service to the nation. Mr. Hegseth, you're requesting roughly $68 billion for the department through the supplemental, correct?
67, yes.
67.
And yesterday, your department stated publicly, quote, U.S. forces struck Iranian military command centers, maritime capabilities, missile and drone launch sites, and air defense systems to degrade Iran's ability to continue attacking commercial vessels. That was a press release from your department. Is that a broadly accurate characterization of ongoing operations?
That sounds broadly accurate, yes.
On day 14 of this conflict, Mr. Secretary, day 14, nearly 5 months ago, you stated that Iran's military had been, quote, destroyed and, quote, made combat ineffective. That was on day 14 of the war. Was that an accurate statement?
They didn't have a navy any longer. It was completely sunk. Their missiles were buried underneath a lot of their underground facilities, and their defense industrial base has been almost completely destroyed. So as far as a military assessment of Iran's capabilities, it didn't mean by any stretch of the imagination absolute zero, but their capabilities
Mr. Secretary,
at the lowest level
you
they've
stated
been in a very
that
long time.
On day 14 of this conflict, in the second week of the conflict, you stated that Iran's military had been, quote, destroyed and, quote, made combat ineffective. Was that an accurate statement?
Can I get another copy of the
yes
rundown stapled together?
Iran's ability to challenge the United States of America at the level at which we're capable of.
That's not what I asked you, Mr. Secretary. You said on day 14, Iran's military had been, quote, destroyed and, quote, made combat ineffective. Yes or no? Was that an accurate statement?
What the American military has done to the Iranian military is a historic military
defeat,
and
they're
ineffective in that context.
3 weeks later, you declared victory. That was now nearly 4 months ago. 3 weeks after you'd already said Iran's military was destroyed and combat ineffective, you said, quote, Operation Epic Fury was a historic and overwhelming victory. You said Iran's military had been rendered, quote, combat ineffective for years to come. And you stated we had, quote, achieved every single objective. Were those accurate statements?
It certainly was, on behalf of the men and women in uniform, a historic military victory over Iran.
Had Iran's military been rendered, quote, combat ineffective for years to come? That was a statement that you made 4 months ago.
They had 160 naval vessels.
You need to answer the questions,
Mr.
Secretary.
Their Air Force is completely combat ineffective, and they don't have a defense industrial base.
Excuse me, Mr. Secretary.
So describe to me a country that doesn't have an Air Force, a Navy, or a defense industrial base, and I'll describe to you a country that does not have an effective military. It can lob missiles.
Mr. Secretary, you stated 4 months ago that Iran's military had been rendered, quote, combat ineffective for years to come. Has Iran's military been, for the last 4 months, combat ineffective?
It's been set back not just years, but likely decades.
You stated we had, quote,
at the level it did before, not even close. It doesn't mean it doesn't have capabilities.
Mr. Secretary, you stated we had, quote, achieved every single objective. Was that an accurate statement 4 months ago?
The main objective of this was to ensure that Iran never gets a nuclear weapon. Their main sites were obliterated. We're watching over them, and we're holding them at issue. If they don't give them up at the table, there's other ways we can take
early
them away.
In the conflict
Iran
on
will never
day
have
three,
a nuclear
Mr.
weapon.
Mr. Secretary, early in the conflict, day three, you said one of those core objectives was to, quote, destroy the missile threat. And as you restated on day five, to, quote, obliterate Iran's missiles and drones. Those were clearly and repeatedly stated core objectives of the campaign, which 4 months ago you declared had been completed victoriously with every single objective achieved. Were those objectives achieved 4 months ago?
No one ever stated that every single missile was gone. Ultimately, combat ineffective means they're not able to dig them out
Pause
of their UGFs and shoot.
We said they had no air defense, playa. So it doesn't matter. We're coming back next segment, next hour, with the man to talk about this stuff with, Suleiman Ahmed, respected international journalist, the only Western journalist to be in every city for the world's largest funeral procession in human history, of course, for now deceased Ayatollah Khamenei. We'll be covering all of that when we come back. I do want to tell you real quick, don't be like Pete Hegseth. Go to alexjonesstore.com and get high-quality Patriot gear, supplements, and all the things that you need. You know, don't focus on giving your war to a, or giving your money to a foreign government so they can fight another war in the Middle East. Focus on funding independent broadcasters and networks that you need to be supporting right now. Go to thealexjonesstore.com for all those phenomenal offers, apparel, supplements, water filtration, shower heads, you name it, and more. We got it available for you.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such a the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price, price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. kpm.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You can call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.